The 22nd chapter, the last chapter, is fascinating. And it is a wonderful chapter to read. And I hope it will gladden the heart a little bit. Sometimes there are lots of things which sort of get us down. And this is it's important. Don't let the end of the year be one where you feel down. Really look in terms of what you can do to be uplifted in heart and in spirit. And that's what we want to understand from this particular chapter, the first part of Revelation 22. Well, lots of things to think about. But let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for grace and strength to keep reading Revelation until we've come to the last chapter. Help us to look forward to completing this book and be further challenged to read other texts which can be challenging. We pray that you'll help us to broaden our perspective of the scriptures and of your plans. We pray for your blessings in the day with the Lord Jesus. Amen. But let's look at Revelation 22, and we're going to look at the first five verses, and then the rest of the chapter will be for the whole month of January, right? Now, as we take a look at this whole idea of what is going to be evidence, what is going to be seen, there are lots of things to think about very carefully. And as we look at this aspect, you know, may our hearts be really greatly encouraged along the way. Okay? So the first part of it is, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clean as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and the Lamb. Now, this is a beautiful picture. It's something to think about very, very much. What is this idea of the river of life anyway? And this is something that we need to look at very carefully. You know, when the Lord Jesus spoke about how he will give fountain of life, how he will give water of life, all of these things are actually prophesied in the Old Testament already, in the book of Isaiah particularly, right? But this is something that's really, really special to think about, and it's really wonderful to seriously consider what is this thing we call the river of life. Please, you do not have to wait until that time to find this river of life. This river of life concept is actually already there, given to us, and that's important. In Ezekiel 47, we have a beautiful picture of this river of life that we read about here. Well, let's take a look at this particular chapter, Ezekiel 47, for example, right? So he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water. Right, this is very important. Flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, and then the water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, and he brought to let me on the outside the water where there was water running out on the right side. Right, and so he measured the thing here, and there was water right up to the ankles. That's the beginning part of it. That's verse 3. And then he measured another 1,000 cubits, and then the water came up to the waist, right, to the knees first, and then to the waist. Okay, and then another 1,000 cubits, and he says, I could not cross. Water was too deep. Water in which one must swim. And this is important for us to look at. This is the river of water that we are looking at. And this is what we call the healing waters. Because these waters go there they will be healed, whatever. Everything will live wherever the river goes, right? So this place, from En Gedi to En Eglaim, these places, the fish will be there like the Great Sea. This is a reference to the Dead Sea. And this Dead Sea will come alive one day. But this is a reference to Ezekiel 47. The Revelation 22, it's a different healing waters, but still a reference to the river of life there. And that is, to me, a wonderful thing to consider. And sometimes we don't realize how wonderful water is, because we take it for granted. It's available. It's, you know, and we don't understand it as much when you talk about a pure river of water of life. You tell me where on earth you can find a pure water of life. And the answer is you won't find it anywhere, not on this earth. It's polluted to the worst possible way, and everything has to be filtered. But this is where we have the pure water of life. And this represents what life is all about. Right? And so when we are there, when we drink of the water of life, this is very important. So if we are not used to drinking from the water of life today, you won't know what we do with the life water later. That's the nature of life. Right? Here is just a portrayal of what life was meant to be. It's meant to be crystal clear. It's meant to be refreshing. It's meant to be life-giving. That's what it was meant to be. So before we can talk about enjoying that fullness of life in heaven, you need to enjoy this life on this earth here in order to understand this, right? So when we read the scriptures and we really come alive to the Lord, that's where we begin now, right? But if we cannot enjoy this life here on earth, the water of life, how are we going to enjoy the pure water over in heaven? I think the person who is miserable in heaven, if there's such a thing, is a person who doesn't know how to drink of the water of life, because we don't know how to appreciate life today here. How are we going to appreciate the purity of it all there? It's going to be somewhat amiss. And this is where we have to think about what it means for us to have this idea of the, you know, the pure water of the river of life. Now, I don't know whether you, you know, with it or not, but to understand this life, we all think about this life here. To some people, it's a drudgery. To other people, it's mundane. It's humdrum. You know, we seem to be missing the whole idea of what it is to come alive. Right? Think about these things here. And when we take a look at this whole idea of the pure river of life, and this is very important, the pure water of life. When we partake of this water, we're supposed to come alive. And one reason why we are not so alive because we don't drink enough. Right? Think about this. We were meant to be alive, and the only way to keep alive and well is to drink deeply. Right? But this is what's going to happen in heaven. So we think about the water of life, and it's just there. And it proceeds from the throne of God and of the Lamb. So in heaven, we're not looking at deadness. We are not. We are looking at life, the purity of life, crystal clear what this is all about. And it, you know, to me, that's absolutely wonderful. But before we can talk about what life is, it is purity in heaven. Let's talk about life here on earth. We have cluttered our life on this earth with so many things that we most of the time we worry about our life that to actually enjoy this life. Right? We are worried about everything. Right? We worry about this, we worry about that, we worry about or the other thing. And we are worried about all kinds of, we are worried about health, we are worried about health, we are looking at money problems, we are looking at family problems, we are so upset with it. So many things in life that we've forgotten how to live. Right? Now, this is important. So it's an old story told about a man. This guy was fishing in the U.S., one of the lakes there. And he came down from his boat, and a friend approached him with cold, and it was a cold call, and he says, what do you do with your life? He says, well, I can give you an insurance program that will help you enjoy your life. Right? Do all the things you want to do, enjoy life, and you want to go fishing, when you grow older, you can enjoy life, and all the time. And a man turned to the insurance man and said, what do you think I'm doing? Why do I need to be old, and then I start go fishing and enjoy it? Guess what? I have it right now. If only we know how not to be worried about a lot of things, right? But being what we are, being who we all tend to worry. And every year that goes by, we worry a little bit more. I mean, there's an old song, why worry when you can pray? People reverse it, you know, why pray when you can worry? Why do we do this? But that's a really big problem. And we don't know what this life is all about. And it's important, right? We read, then we go on further. And we take a look at this thing. In the middle of his street, on either side, was the tree of life. Again, here we see this idea, water of life, and then the tree of life. Okay, now this is wonderful. Again here, the focus is just simply life. Right? You got to eat to stay alive, of course. Right? We just got to have things, good things to sustain us in our life. And I think this is something that's just absolutely necessary. But watch this tree that is there. Right? In the middle of the streets, on either side of the river, was the tree of life. Again here, it's tree. Right? And it's, this thing that we talk about. Look, it bore 12 fruits. Each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. If only we will understand that this is the life God meant us to have. Right? Water that helps us to be clean, to be refreshed all the time. And food, right now here are the fruits. Right? And this is very important. Every tree yielding its fruit every month. Right, that would be a very special tree that can yield its fruit every month. We don't have to wait until the season over 3-4 months without. But we are looking at every fruit. And to me, that's absolutely 12 fruits. Each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Right? Now, this is something that we want to think about very, very carefully. Again here, we are looking at things which we wish would be on this earth. Right? If you can find such a tree on this earth that will yield such fruit and will healing of the nations, you'll be the first trillionaire. Right? But it's not for sale. It's just life. This is what God wants to give us, life, right? And this life described in both ways, food and drink. If only we would just partake of the food and drink and be happy and enjoy this life. I mean, we've come to the point where we really don't know how to enjoy life. You know, one of the things that I did, you know, when they get hampers and mostly biscuits and chocolates, and you notice that I have not put on weight. The reason is let the youngsters enjoy the biscuits and the chocolates because they would probably enjoy it better than I would. And for being young, they can eat whatever they want and they will just expand it. Sometimes you watch the young people, how much they eat, and they still don't put on weight, and you just envy them for being able to have that kind of metabolic rate that will help them to enjoy whatever they can eat and then still not put on weight. But you think about what this is all about, right? There is a healing power, and this life-giving thing is just important for us to understand and appreciate, right? The symbolic significance is just wonderful. How wonderful it is to be able to be free from illnesses, to be free from a lot of problems and challenges in life. And, you know, we are going to be dealing with some people in our church who are going through difficult times in the year ahead of them. And it's, you know, the fight with cancer is always a tough one. And we are just going to look at the reality. The idea here is to remind us that there is life. And God gives us that life. And if we are so bogged down with all the problems and the fears and the worries of life, we actually don't live. What kind of life is it when we half the time are angry and worried and you know, we're just confused with what's happening? That's something that we all need to consider very carefully. So think about it. Life, water, life-giving tree. It's just to be absolutely wonderful. I'm looking forward to going to heaven. See, a lot of people, you know, they all want to go to heaven to partake of the water of life, to partake of the tree of life. It's all wonderful, but nobody wants to die. See, that's the problem. We think that going to die is very difficult. Actually, it's not. It's not meant to be like that. It's just to give us a picture of what heaven is like. How wonderful it is to be freed from this world's problems and hell challenges and all kinds of things that worry us like crazy. Right? I mean, we are just all worried about a lot of things. And that's a really sad reality. Okay, now we go on to verse 3. Now, it's very important. And there shall be no more curse. Now, this is a very interesting thing to understand. Why this idea of a curse was mentioned at all? Right? Now, in order to understand this, you have to literally go back to where the curse came in. Right? So going all the way back to Genesis, that's where the thing started. Right? So in Genesis, the Lord warned Adam and Eve and warned them about what will happen. Right? So this, they all started off happily, and then we saw the whole idea of the curse. Okay? And so we read this. In verse 14, because you have done this, you are cursed. Now, this is where the idea of the curse comes in. This is part of the curse is simply punishment. Right? So verse 14, part of the curse problem. Okay? And this is with reference to the serpent. And to the woman. There we go. I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Right? And then to Adam. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat the bread till you return to the ground. Out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Now this is the curse that we are talking about. Right? So this is a pronouncement of a curse that could affect mankind. It will affect the evil one, it will affect the family, it will affect the husband, it will affect the wife, it will affect mankind. Right? And you will have to work. A lot of people look forward towards retirement, and you know, it's not everybody would be able to retire and be able to live off the retirement. But this is where the reality is. And with the sweat of your face, you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. And this is how it works for many people, right? So to be able to read this word, no more curse, this is where chapter 3 will be written completely gone, right? This is something that we need to think about very, very carefully. Now, there is another chapter on about curses that you want to read about, and there are things which are difficult to read, very painful to read, but this is a word of warning that the Lord had to give to Israel, and this is important for us to understand. In chapter 28 of Deuteronomy, right, in Deuteronomy 27, 28. Right? So there is the promise of blessing. Okay? The blessing if this is done. If they obey the Lord, they walk with the Lord, the blessing will be there. And so this is where in chapter 27, 20, let's look at 27 first. Right? And so the beginning of it all, verse 15. Curse is everyone who makes a calf or molded image an abomination to the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and sets it up in secret. And the people will have to say, Amen. In other words, idolatry is something which the Lord hates. Now we go on further. Curse is the man who treats his father or his mother with contempt. This is an important law that we need to. So if we have contempt for father, mother, the pronouncement of a curse is there. And all the people shall say, Amen. Right? Curse is the one who moves his neighbor's landmark. In other words, you're cheating your neighbor. You're trying by force to take over that which is not yours. Right? And the people shall say, Amen. Curse is one who makes the blind to wander off the road. We think it's fun. This is tell the blind man, turn left. And, you know, that's dangerous. Maybe there's a bog somewhere. Maybe there's a drain somewhere. And the poor blind man listen to the advice and is injured along the way. Curse is the person who does this. And the people shall say, Amen. Right? Curse is the one who perverts the justice due to the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. Right? So there is danger. If we pervert justice to the stranger, to the fatherless, to the widow, and this person is going to be cursed. And all the people shall say, Amen. Right? Now, curse is the one who lies with his father's wife, because he's covered his father's bed. Now, this is not a reference to his mother, but this is a reference to if the father has gets remarried and has a young wife. And this person goes, that's why it's called the father's bed, not the mother's bed. Right? This is the very sin that was committed in the church in Corinth. And so Paul took a very firm stand against things like that. And all the people shall say, Amen. Right? Now, this is, you know, this is bestial sin. One who lies with any kind of animal. Now that's something that we are, and all the people shall say amen. Right? Go on further. Curses the one who lies with his sister, the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother. In other words, we're talking about incest. And unfortunately, a lot of people think that it's nothing. Sometimes you look at people who ill-treat their brother or sister, and then for years, as if it is nothing. Well, the person is going to receive the curse from the Lord. Right? Curse is the one who lies with his mother-in-law. The very thought of it is already a curse. What's wrong with you? I mean, it's so sad. They don't want to laugh about it, but all the people shall say it. Right? Curse is the one who attacks his neighbor secretly. Right? Why are you attacking your neighbor? If you do this, the curse is upon you. Why do this? And unfortunately, nowadays with Facebook, with all kinds of things, people attack people and things like that. You know, you don't put your name there, but you hit at people. Why? You can only invite a curse upon yourself. Don't go that way. Right? Curse is the one who takes a bribe to slay an innocent person. Curse is the one who does not confirm all the words of this law by observing them. So this was the curse. Now, 27. Right? Now, in expansion of 27 is 28, where the curse takes on even more ominous words. Let's take a look at 28. Okay? It shall come to pass, verse 15, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, and you do not observe carefully his commandments, his statutes, all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Right? Where will you be? Where can you escape God's curse? You won't. Cursed you shall be in the city. Cursed you shall be in the country. You can't escape the curse of God. In other words, you cannot say, let me move to the city and the curse will be no more. It doesn't work like that. If I go to the countryside, escape the city, it doesn't work because it's a curse from the Lord. Cursed shall your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the product of your land, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks. Now, that is important. In other words, you may see increase, but there will be a curse on the increase. That, so it's not just increase, it's whether the increase comes with the blessing of God. The increase that does not come with the blessing of God is the curse. Now, we go on further. Okay, curse shall be your basket, your kneading bowl. Curse shall be the fruit of your body. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed you shall be when you go out. And look at the explanation of what this curse is. The Lord will send you cursing, confusion, rebuke in all that you set your hand to do, until you are destroyed, until you perish quickly, because of the wickedness of your doings, in which you have forsaken me. Now, this is a very serious curse. Right? Because of the wickedness of the heart. The Lord will make the plague cling to you until he has consumed you from the land which you are going to possess. Right? The Lord will strike you with consumption, with fever, with inflammation, and severe burning fever. But this is not your usual fever, okay? You mustn't think I got fever. Oh dear, this is Deuteronomy 28. Don't confuse yourself. This is not what it is. Right? This is punitive. There's a lot of difference between a common cold, flu, bug, and things like that. Because this kind of cursing, no doctor can cure you. It will have to take the Lord's grace and mercy for this to happen. Right? And so with severe burning fever, with the sword, scorching, with mildew, they shall pursue you until you perish. and your heavens which are over your head shall be bronze, the earth which is under your feet shall be iron. The Lord will change the rain on your land to powder and dust. From the heaven it shall come down on you until you are destroyed. This one is frightening because this is almost happening. With all the climatic changes that are taking place right now, we're seeing literally the earth being destroyed. And this is frightening to read. The Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You shall go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them. And you shall become troublesome to all the kingdoms of the earth. Your carcasses shall be food for all the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth. All right. And the Lord will strike you with all the plagues of Israel, the boils and the tumors, and with the scab and all this you read about in Revelation 16. Right? The Lord will strike you with madness and blindness and confusion of heart. You shall grope at noonday as a blind man gropes in darkness. This darkness we are talking about these last 2 months is a blight on this earth. You need the light of God to get out of the darkness. This is part of that curse. Right? So if we look at these things here, this becomes a really big problem. And all of these things, which are very, very literally frightening. Right? So chapter 28 is one of those things which you read sparingly. You read and you sort of nervous, you know. This is very important. Well, you think this is bad, you should read Leviticus. Then you look at the idea of the Lord's curses, and it can be frightening to look at Leviticus. Well, let's quickly look at it. Not to read too much of it, otherwise the whole day will be spoiled, and then the last Sunday of the year will be something which we don't want to read about. But it's very important for us to read this, very important. Okay? This is Numbers 26. Right? So Deuteronomy 27, 28. This is Leviticus chapter 26. Right? This is where the Lord promised that He will bless. Right? But verse 14, if you do not obey me, and you do not observe all these commandments, if you despise my statutes, or if your soul abhors my judgments, so that you do not perform all my commandments, but break my covenant, I will do this to you. I will appoint terror over you. Right? Wasting disease and fever, which will consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart. You shall sow your seed in vain. We go on further. Read verse 17. I will set my face against you. Right? Those who hate you shall reign over you. Verse 19, I will break the pride of your power. This is a very big problem, pride. And the Lord says, I will break your pride. Whatever means it may take, right? Very important. If you walk contrary to me, and you're not willing to obey, now watch this fearsome words. Verse 21. I will bring you 7 times more plagues according to your sins. The threat of sevenfold judgment and curse is, to me, a very frightening thing. And if these things, verse 23, you are not reformed, you walk contrary to me, then God says, I will walk contrary to you. And here we go. I will punish you yet 7 times for your sins. Why is man so foolish and so obstinate here? Go on further. Verse 27. If after all this, you still do not obey me, but walk contrary, then I will chastise you seven times, again here, verse 28, for your sins. Right? And then to go on further to all of these things. I will bring the land to desolation. I will scatter you. And this is important for us to understand. This is what Israel experienced again and again. Assyrians, Babylonians, Medo-Persians, you name them. A long time. But Israel has not learned on all of these things here, sadly. But it's something to think about very carefully. How do we understand this? Then, of course, if they confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers with their unfaithfulness in which they were unfaithful, verse 40, right? Then the Lord said, then I will remember my covenant. This is a language of Zacharias. God will remember his covenant in giving the Messiah to them. Right? And this is important for us to understand. Verse 45, for their sake I will remember the covenant, that I might be their God. So this is wonderful to read, that there will be no more curse. So Genesis 3, Leviticus here, 26, Deuteronomy 27, 28. Imagine. This part of it will be wiped out. No more curse. So in the new Bible that we will have, that we will get to read, we won't be reading things like that. Because there's no more curse. There's no more rebellion. That's all gone. We have life instead. That to me is a wonderful life that we are looking at. Right? So this is the word here. Right? So then in verse 4 we read, well, verse 3 first. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Now, how wonderful it is to be there as servants of God. And we'll be there to serve the Lord. So many people think that if I'm going to heaven, I'm just going to take it easy. Every day, bask in the sun. But remember, no sun. So what are you basking in? What about the moonlight? Enjoy the moonlight. Sorry, there are also no moon glasses. Right? So there are lots of these things here. They're going to be there. Quite different. We are there to serve the Lord. What am I going to heaven for? And one reason, seriously, all of these things there to serve Him. And how wonderful it is to understand that we will see the throne of God represents God, and the Lamb shall be in it. And it is wonderful. So there, instead of disobedience, there will be total full obedience. Instead of all the curses, there will be nothing but blessing. Right? And the Lord says He will bless, and blessing is something that He does wonderfully. And that's something to really enjoy. Okay, and there will be something that we want to, and the servants of God will serve Him faithfully, right? And then we go on further to see what else it is that we will enjoy, right? They shall see His face, and His name shall be on their foreheads. And to me, it's absolutely wonderful. God will put His own name on your forehead, to show that you belong to Him. Right? Now, this is something that you want to seriously consider. So when we are in heaven, right now, we already are sealed. That's going to be very, very important for us to understand and appreciate. You know, to me, one of the parents wrote to me and asked, Pastor, can you baptize our child, but the child is in hospital. The child is very, very, very ill and is in intubation right now, and is a very sad little baby boy. And you know, the thought of what it means to baptize a baby takes on even greater meaning now. To the parents, they want to say, this is our child in God's covenant. And the Lord has promised that He will receive and He will bless. And to me, that is a very moving thing. When we see our children baptized and we see our children literally sealed by the Lord, to me, that's a very special meaning. The child may not live. Right? Now, this is something the little baby may not live. But to the parents, they want this to be done because it's special to their hearts. It's been really challenging to see this. And we sometimes cannot understand all of these things here, but these things can happen. And we are just going to really appreciate how we will see the Lord's face. We will see the healing that will take place. We will see the life that will be given. And we will see the Lamb of God there. You know, to me, when it says He will carry the little ones in His arms, it's a very, very special meaning. And that's what we are looking at. Right? And then finally, we read, there shall be no night there. They need no lamp, no light of the sun. For the Lord God gives them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. Not only are we going to be serving the Lord there, we will reign with the Lord there. And this is to me an absolutely beautiful picture of what heaven it is. Right? I don't know what grabs you, but sometimes it's just simply in heaven, there will be no more curses, there will be no more any of these things here. All the negatives are out. Only what the Lord is involved, what He will do in blessing will be there. And to me, that's a wonderful thing. Right? And it's something that we want to think about and pray about and to really be there with people and for people. Right? And so these are challenges which we all want to think about and pray about when, you know, when we look at the reality of life and death. And sometimes you have to decide, and the parents have to decide, to be on life support machine or not. And it's a very painful decision. I remember me helping one particular person to make the decision. He was a young medical doctor then. This was their firstborn. And it was a very painful time. So he called me up and I spoke to him. He says, can you come down to hospital? And I said, sure. It was in Alexander then. That the little boys, I mean, I saw the machine that was there. It was barely keeping him alive. So I said, why won't you let him go? Release him back to God. And he says, I can't. So I said to him, would you let me do that for you? Let me signal to the other doctor who is attending you and let the little boy go. It was hard because one boy, two firstborn. Mother was in depression over this. It was hard. But it was the best thing to do. And he said, yes, I nodded to the other doctor, switch it off. And he did. It was a painful time. But it was the best decision. Because we are talking about heaven here. We're talking about in the arms of the Lord. It was a painful, the funeral was basically attended by him, by me, and the little baby. Nobody else was there. It was painful. The mother wasn't there, still in hospital. But you know, that left an impression on my heart. What is heaven going to be like? God is going to be there. God is going to be there in a very real sense of the word. And that brings tremendous comfort. There will be life. There will be no more curse. We don't know what is the problem. And it's been painful. Right? Now, this is something that is very, very challenging. We've had two people who suffered from, pregnancy had to be terminated. And it was painful for the couple. And it was just simply difficult. We live on this earth here, and this earth has all kinds of problems and challenges. What is our hope? It has to be in God and in heaven. The reality of our hope in heaven. This is what we want people to understand and appreciate. And it's so real that our little ones, we will miss them. But they are in the presence of God. And that's what we want to really trust in. And it's a very beautiful picture of it all. Right? Think about what it means to be in heaven. And it can be beautiful. Right? So this story is told. This is a more of a Roman Catholic story, but it still has got its point to learn. So one day a little boy appeared to the mother in a dream. And the mother recognized the son and he says, "Are you in heaven?" And he said, "Yes." "Are you happy there?" "No." "So how come you're in heaven and you're not happy?" And so he said to the mom, "Mom, you know, we all have got candles. But my candle never gets lit." Right? So I said, "What do you mean, why?" He says, "Mom, every time you shed tears, my light goes out." "Don't, please, Mom, please stop shedding tears. I'm happy in heaven. I'm right here. I'm ahead of you. Don't shed tears anymore, please." And this reminds us that while we may shed some tears, the tears must not be perpetual. We cannot shed tears every day of our life over lost loved ones. Don't. This is heaven as God wants us to see it. It's a beautiful place. Life will be there. And God above all will be there. And we will be servants with Him there, for Him there. And we will reign with Him there. How much more wonderful can this heaven be? Think about this. And may the Lord teach us how to look forward to heaven rather than on earth. Okay, think about this. Well, let's pray together. Oh, Father, we thank you for the hope that we have in heaven. We thank you for all that you have written for us to read and to be comforted by. We give thanks for all that you have done for us in sending the Lord Jesus to be our Savior. Help us to take heart that in heaven, all the things we know on this earth, the sadness, the sorrow, will be taken away forever. We pray that you would teach us how to rejoice in this truth. We pray for your blessings. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.